Well, again, it's good to have all of you listening across Western New York and Southern Ontario. The conversation we're going to have today about responders on a mission is going to be similar to some of the conversations we've had in the past. However, we're going to be providing quite a few updates because it feels like it's been a while since I've seen Brandon Vizzi, one of the co-founders of Responders on a Mission, the executive director, of course, and a good friend of WDCX, and his wife, Alicia, a good friend of the Zach Man many years ago. So we've got roots here, man. We got family history. How are you?
We do. It's good. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How is the lovely Alicia? Well, today it's Vizzy, but former Bellingham. How's she
doing?
She's
doing great. We have our five-year-old daughter, Lily. She's doing wonderful as well.
Oh, five?
5 years old.
Come on.
Yep.
I think I must have fallen asleep and not woken up for 5 years because it just seems like yesterday.
Time flies.
Wow.
Yep. She's in kindergarten doing very well.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're smitten, aren't you, as a dad?
I am.
Come on.
I am.
Something about little girls, man. It's unbelievable. Rome, R-O-A-M, is, you know, the acronym that describes responders on a mission. And by the way, if you want to check out their website, add the acronym for international, I-N-T-L. R-O-A-M-I-N-T-L, Rome International, in other words, .org. And we'll repeat that again in case you missed it, but it's an opportunity for you to get up to speed. But for those who aren't familiar, describe what Responders on a Mission is. And obviously, you're going to have to tell the story based on your own background as well.
Of course. So currently, I've been a firefighter EMT for the last 20 years serving our community here in Western New York.
Wow.
And during that time, I've also done specialties in water rescue. I've been a rescue scuba diver, and I've had vast experiences in seeing the great parts of life, but also the very difficult parts of life. And so in overnight in about 2011, a co-founder, Mike Parker, and I, we came back from just a terrible call where an infant ended up passing away, and we saw a bunch of our firefighters just turning to everything they could to just numb the pain. Mm-hmm. And so Mike and I said, you know what, there has to be a different way. We were both believers. We knew God wanted to do something. And so we said, let's just pray. So we went into his office at 3 o'clock in the morning and just prayed and said, God, what does this look like for us to share your gospel to first responders in our community? Mm-hmm. And so it was in that idea that Responders on a Mission was born at 3 o'clock in the morning in 2011.
You know, I don't think most people really pay attention to the effect of trauma, maybe even in their own lives, but how often first responders experience trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the first ones on the scene a lot of times after someone has committed suicide, maybe, or is injured as a result of attempting suicide,
mm-hmm.
major accidents, fires, and other things that you know your work better than me. But I'm just saying, we want to hear the story of how they're doing. Is this person going to live? You know, what's the outcome? But for the person who deals with this on a regular basis, maybe, as you said, seeing an infant die can be incredible, particularly if you're a dad of an infant. So how do you process that trauma? And what you're saying is people were turning to drugs, probably, mm-hmm. alcohol, whatever, everything but Jesus.
Exactly.
And that was the void you felt the Holy Spirit was saying needed to be filled?
We did.
Yeah.
We did, especially because when you first start into this field, you go into it very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You want to save everybody and save the world. But also when you do that as a career, especially during my time in a career EMS agency, you had to reset very quickly because you might have an infant that passed away and then you have to go clean the ambulance and go right back on your next job. So you had to process through things extremely quickly. And we found out that was just not a very healthy way for people to be doing that. So to be able to introduce the gospel into what we're doing and show people that there is hope and healing in Jesus Christ and be able to help people connect those dots. Because I've had a lot of coworkers at the fire department and on the ambulance say, if there is a God, he's got a lot of explaining to do after what I've seen. And I wanted to be able to help answer that question.
Where was God? How come he didn't prevent this question?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's so hard. Responders on a Mission International.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come in?
So internationally, we actually got connected with a career missionary. His name is Jeff Hackett and currently sits on our board of directors. And he's been a missionary with Mission Go for several years, and ironically, also my high school youth pastor. So when we started coming up with this idea for Responders on a Mission, Jeff asked me if I wanted to get together for lunch and just talk life. And so we caught up over lunch, and he said, you know what? I've taken groups on mission trips before that have gone to orphanages. We've done feeding programs, but we drive right by the firehouses. What would you guys think if we went down there and tried doing ministry with the firefighters in these countries? And so we prayed about it and said, okay, you know what? Let's get a group together. So we got 7 or 8 firefighters. We went to the Dominican Republic with Jeff, no pre-planning. And we just showed up and knocked on the door to one of the firehouses. And they very just kind of casually opened up the door, very suspicious as to why there was 8 gringos sitting outside their door.
Exactly.
And we said, hey, we're a bunch of firefighters, EMTs, paramedics from the United States. And we just want to do life with you guys. We want to know about you. We want to help create and cultivate that brotherhood that we see in emergency services. And as soon as they found out we were fellow first responders, you would have thought long lost family showed up.
Really?
The doors open. They went out back. They slaughtered a couple chickens. We had a nice dinner. And honestly, that Neil, you wouldn't believe it. That brotherhood just extends beyond international borders. And through that, it gave us an in to now share the gospel with these firefighters. Because even though we're separated by 2,500 miles, mm-hmm. they struggle with the exact same things that we struggle with up here.
But it's really cool, and especially with the internet and all of that, with modern technology, I would imagine it's easier than it would have been 100 years ago, for sure, to stay in connection with them or to know about prayer needs, you know, on the spot. Maybe some of the relationships you've had, somebody down there is struggling or whatever, mm-hmm. and vice versa. You can share prayer requests with them. It's really cool that that brotherhood exists, not just as in terms of your occupation, but in the relationship you can have with God as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really cool. By the way, define first responder, because I think different things come to mind. People might immediately think police officer. I don't know if that is included, but you, for sure firefighters, but what did you say, paramedics and EMTs?
Yes, so anybody who is considered a first responder, we have counseling ministries across the Western New York and Northern Virginia region, and anyone who's a first responder, we count it anyone who would actually help and interact with people. So we've done ministry with police officers, paramedics. We've done ministry with corrections officers, especially with all the craziness that happened in the Western New York, kind of New York State corrections community about a year ago. We've also done work with doctors, nurses, physical therapists, anybody who has a direct interaction with patients and provides care.
Love that. And I don't know if you said this prior to the interview or if you said it during the interview, but I scribbled down 2011. So that was the first year that you got started.
It was.
Which means 15 years.
15 years of God's faithfulness.
Wow. Unbelievable. How long have you been a firefighter?
20 years.
Okay.
20 years.
How has it changed your understanding of what it means to be a firefighter? Or like the call of God on your life, I think is really what I'm getting at. And it just turns out that you're a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
How has it changed you to be involved in this kind of a brotherhood where it goes beyond just your occupation, but the relationship you have with one another and with the Lord?
Mm-hmm. It goes way beyond that because I realized there's a closeness in what you do. And I'm sure you've seen it in radio. When you are with somebody for day in and day out for several hours a day, 60 hours a week, you tend to build a bond and relationship with them that really can't be broken. And especially when you go through difficult times of life together, you get to know each other's families, you just have that bond and that brotherhood. And Mike and I started realizing that most of our brothers and sisters didn't know about Jesus because we weren't doing an effective job of sharing the gospel with them. And so we said, what an alarming thing that it could be that all of our coworkers, we're fighting the flames of earth here, but they don't know how to fight the flames of hell. They are all going to be condemned to hell because they don't know that relationship with Jesus Christ and even that it exists. And so we said, all right, this is going to be our mission. And so God just instilled that in me. The Holy Spirit just really gave me this vision and said, all right, our ministry is for first responders by first responders. So if we wanted to go up and counsel a firefighter, police officer, paramedic, one of the things I've seen in my career is after an incident, they will try and bring in somebody from a different agency to help provide counseling and stress debriefing. And I've been on the receiving end of this where you can't understand because you've never gone through this. Mm-hmm. You've never been there. You've never experienced what I've experienced. Your hands have never touched what I have. And so now for us to go in and say, we're a ministry for first responders by first responders. So we can relate because we're in the field with you. We're in the trenches with you. And we understand what it's like to go through this stuff. But ultimately, everything that we see and do strengthens our relationship with Jesus because it just shows that the gospel can be presented in such a clear and tangible way.
How's that message being received by people who hear about you for the first time? And I don't necessarily mean our listeners or somebody you encounter if you got a booth set up at some event and they're coming by, oh, you know, what is that about? I'm talking about in the field, like when someone from a different fire department, different district, whatever, learns about this and they understand that they've been through trauma and whatever, are you dismissed as, oh, just a bunch of religious fanatics, or do they sense that real hope might be found there? Because if I'm hearing you correctly, there isn't a lot of places they can turn to for hope.
Mm-hmm.
So it would seem to me that if they get a sense that you guys have something real and tangible to offer, like a relationship with Jesus and the ability to understand where they're coming from and pray with them, et cetera, I would think would be welcome. But, you know, in this day and age, you never know. So, like, what kind of response are you getting from other first responders who first learn of the ministry?
A lot of it's very positive. We've been invited to speak at several fire departments. Even just recently in one of the local townships here in Western New York, we were invited to speak at a townwide day drill. It had 60 firefighters from across almost 20 fire departments at this drill that we were asked to help put on. And so one of the gentlemen came up to me afterwards and he said, "You know, faith to me is like broccoli. If you force it on me, I don't want it. But you guys did a great job of presenting it. And it makes me want to try and take a bite." And so with the guys understanding
that
it is, but the guys understand that, okay, these aren't just guys with, you know, that want to come in here and help. These are guys that are also in the field with us and understand what we're going through. And so when we come in, we say, hey, here's where hope is found. Here's where we have found hope. And for them to see that alive in us, it gives them a sense of hope as well.
I love it. Brandon Vizzi is our guest. He's been with us before, and he's a good friend to WDCX and to many who are involved in ministry locally. He mentioned the name Jeff Hackett. Of course, many of you know his name from Mission Go and from SCORE International, and Jeff has been on many times. But today, Brandon serves not only as a firefighter, but he's a first responder, and he's the executive director of a ministry to first responders called Responders on a Mission International. And of course, the acronym for Responders on a Mission would be ROAM, R-O-A-M. I-N-T-L stands for international. So check out R-O-A-M-I-N-T-L, roaminternational.org, and learn about what Responders on a Mission is doing. I got to believe, Brandon, that there's some folks listening who have someone in their family, maybe it's a son or daughter who became a first responder a couple of years ago. They may not know about the ministry. If somebody wants to reach out for the first time, is the website the place to do it? Or, you know, give a phone call? What's the best way to connect with you?
It is. Right on the website, there's a contact tab. So you can click on that, fill out the form, and it'll send a request directly to our leadership team, and we'll get in touch with you in a matter of 24 hours.
Okay. Now, I want to mention this before we go to break, but you've got a special event happening Saturday, April 11th. So that's coming up, and it's going to be happening right here in the Buffalo area. It's going to give people an opportunity to learn more about the ministry, to get personally involved, prayerfully, financially. Tell us about what's happening on the 11th.
So on Saturday the 11th, we wanted to try something different. So it's actually a breakfast banquet. So that way people sometimes have a hard time giving up their Saturday nights. So you can come and join us Saturday morning, April 11th. The doors open at 10 a.m. We're going to be meeting at the Grapevine Banquets on Dick Road out in Cheektowaga. And you'll be able to hear all about the ministry. You can come and enjoy a breakfast, have a cup of coffee, and be able to hear all about what God is doing through the ministries of Responders on a Mission locally in the United States, but also across the world.
Do you have, I'm assuming you have to sign up for that?
Yes. The tickets and information can be found directly on our website. And tickets are on sale. You can buy them as a table of 10 or as a single individual ticket. And all that information is going to be on the website.
Okay. Yeah, I just found it. The banquet information tab. How easy is that?
Correct.
Right? At ROAMINTL, roaminternational.org. Brandon Vizzi, executive director of Responders on a Mission International, ROAMINTL. Check out the website, roaminternational.org. And there is a banquet tab for the banquet we were talking about a few minutes ago. There's special opportunity for you to learn about the ministry, to become involved in the ministry, to support the ministry. And they're doing a breakfast banquet that begins at 10 a.m., goes till 1 p.m. Grapevine Restaurant on Dick Road in Cheektowaga, Saturday, April 11th. So it's coming up in the not-too-distant future. So, you know, I mentioned stories going into the break, and I wonder if you could give us an example of either something that happened to you personally or that you became aware of because of the ministry where, you know, God confirmed in your heart that this organization was his idea, you know, that there's no doubt that this is transforming lives. This is touching people. It's making a difference. So if somebody said, you know, tell me a story about somebody you had an opportunity to help or maybe a way in which you were helped, what would you say first off? Like, what comes to mind?
Yeah, first off, I can share personally. During my career as a firefighter and EMT, I've also served on our water rescue team. So we handle all of the town of Amherst and most of Northern Erie County and Niagara County. So I've been a rescue scuba diver for a long time as well. And there was a night in January of 2019 where we were called out for a rescue in the Erie Canal. And it was a report of a car in the water with a gentleman still trapped inside. And so I was the primary rescue diver, and I ended up swimming out to the vehicle, going underwater. And now picture this with me. It's the middle of January. Mm-hmm. You're underneath a sheet of ice, zero visibility. You can't really see anything. You can't hear anything. But we do have an underwater communication system so I can talk to people up on the surface. So when I locate the vehicle, it's all by touch. So you have to find there's a tire, there's a mirror, there's the door. And so I reach inside and I do discover that there is a victim inside the vehicle. And so I wasn't able to safely remove the victim. So I surfaced and they gave me a rope off of the tow truck. And it's one of those really thick steel cables.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, just wrap this around the vehicle and we'll tow it out of the water. So again, I go back down, go underwater. I had about 15 minutes of air left. And I secure the cable to the vehicle. And when it was time for me to surface, I realized that the cable was now wrapped around me where I was unable to surface. So here I am, 2 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of January, trapped underwater, attached to a car with a victim inside of it, as I'm starting to run out of air. And so I call for help, and they say the backup diver is on his way. But if anybody's been near the Erie Canal, it's all swampy. So he's having a hard time actually getting out to where it's deep enough for him to swim down to me. And as I'm standing next to the car underwater, I'm realizing that this could be it. And I'm really face to face now with my mortality. And I pleaded with God. I know where I'm going, but I really don't want to go like this. But that at that point, there was a peace that came over me. And I knew that God was alive inside of me. And so I began to think back of some of my training and stuff. So I was able to actually invert myself where I went upside down, pushed all the rope off me that I could feel, and I swam over and swam up, and I had about 30 seconds of air left in my tank.
Oh, man.
So I get to the surface, and now they take me into an ambulance, and they're treating me for hypothermia because you're under ice in the middle of January, so I was cold. And it was at that moment where I started making some phone calls, and the ministry that I spent almost a decade building at that point, I now started to have to pull resources out of. Because from a mental perspective, it was very, very difficult for me to start to understand why would that happen to me? What and how is this going on? And I'm just here to help. And I almost lost my life underwater. And so I had now had to get the stress debriefing from my coworkers, some of them, which I trained in stress debriefing counseling. I now had to pull out the resources to see, all right, God, you allowed this to happen in my life. And honestly, it lit a fire within me, Neil, that just gave me more and more just passion to share the gospel with my first responders, because we don't know when our time is going to be. Praise the Lord, I'm here talking with you today, but that easily could have been it for me.
My goodness. Yeah, and so, by the way, how does that work? Like, you get home from work and Alicia says, how was your day, honey? Or how was your night, honey? What do you do? Did you tell her immediately what happened? Or
I did. And again, it's difficult because as first responders, we don't want to pass that trauma on to our spouses.
I was just thinking that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's certain bits and pieces that we tell our spouses, but the rest of it, we learn to bottle up. And that's something that they always taught us in the fire academy, in the EMS academy, was just, if you can't handle it, you should get out.
Mm-hmm.
And just to bottle everything up. And so being able to utilize the resources of responders on a mission, it allowed me to be able to share exactly what I was feeling, what I was going through, and be able to get the healing that I needed from people who have gone through similar situations, or even people that are also fellow rescue divers.
You know, thank God for first responders. And we get reminded of this when it's time to call a first responder to come and assist with some situation. And God forbid that that's the only time we ever think of this. So maybe this conversation will cause all of us to be grateful once again that you know, we can call 911, or that someone's going to answer at the other end of the line and come and help. But think about the situations people get put in. I mean, they go into burning buildings. You've probably been done the same. You know, there's a child in there. The place is on fire. Everyone's out except for a child. And putting yourself in harm's way on a continued basis must wreak havoc. I mean, sure that there's some people get some type of an adrenaline rush out of it. But sometimes things go south. And if you do lose a team member, or someone dies, you know, that you were hoping to be able to save, that's tremendous trauma, which is, again, underscores the value of this ministry. And I'm sure that there have been people who've come to thank you later for being able to assist them in dealing with that trauma. because, as you said, the only other option is to immerse yourself in, you know, substance abuse or something.
There is. And I actually have a story I'd love to share about a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And him and I were partners on the ambulance together. He was also served as a firefighter with me. And he was a guy, he was a great first responder. When something went wrong, you wanted him next to you because he knew his stuff. But he didn't know Jesus, and he was probably the furthest thing from a believer. And every time I would mention Jesus to him, I don't want to hear that. And so one night after one of our traumatic calls, he ended up going home and he called me in a very drunken and inebriated state a few hours later and said he wanted to have a conversation. And so him and I had a conversation and the Holy Spirit used me to speak into him, even though he was probably two sheets of the wind. But the following night at our support group, he actually showed up. And so we held a first responder support group during this time. And I said, are you sure you're in the right place? And he said, yeah, I've realized my life is going in a direction I don't want it to go. Mm. And I'm scared because the alcohol has a grip on me that I don't know if I can shake free. And so a lot of it was he just kept reliving imagery and having terrible PTSD. And the only way he could numb it was to go through drinking. And so he showed up and said, if you're telling me there's another way, I want to at least give it a shot. And so he started receiving counseling, came to our support groups, and then ultimately ended up coming on a mission trip with me to the Dominican Republic. And one of the beautiful things about our ministry is our mission trips are open to not just Christians, but also anyone who is a first responder or just wants to come serve. And we use that as another vehicle to minister to them and share the gospel.
Yeah. So what you have going on there then is not just missions, but you got evangelism happening.
Correct.
And for some who may be new believers or whatever, discipleship.
That's right.
It's the whole package.
That's right. And so when he's down in the Dominican Republic, he saw that Jesus in the gospel presented in such a real and tangible way, it was very difficult for him to be able to process it. So on the last day of the trip, he says, you know what? I think I want to give my life to Jesus.
Come on.
And I said, you understand what this is, right? We're talking about in the Gospel of Luke, it says, count the cost. I want you to know kind of what you're signing up for. And he said, yes, I do. So he comes home. He's afraid to tell his wife and his three kids at the time, but doesn't he come home? He tells his wife, and over the next course of the next 6 to 8 months, he leads his wife and his kids to Jesus.
Wow.
And now,
and now
he actually has since moved to Virginia, and he now has launched a chapter of Responders on a Mission in Richmond, Virginia. And he now ministers to first responders through the same hope that he received in Jesus Christ.
Man, I love it.
Praise the Lord.
It's the gospel in action.
Praise the Lord.
That's how God designed it.
Yep.
That's a great story. Appreciate you sharing that. Brandon Vizzi, if you just tuned in, Brandon is the executive director of Responders on a Mission, ROAM, and they have gone international, reaching out to first responders in other parts of the world as well, including places like the Dominican Republic and Honduras. And you mentioned that even though we may be talking about two different parts of the world, two different countries, different languages, that there's a brotherhood amongst first responders. That's instantaneous, right?
There is.
You get around another firefighter, does the same thing you do. It doesn't really matter. You're brothers.
That's right.
How cool is that?
And no cultural language barriers will come between that.
Yeah. It's a really great thing that God is doing through Responders on a Mission. And you can learn about that. You can become supportive. You can get personally involved by attending their upcoming banquet Saturday, April 11th. It's happening at the Grapevine Restaurant Banquet Facility at Dick Road in Cheektowaga. That's not far from where Zach Mann lives, by the way. So if somebody wants to participate, I see that a single ticket is $35. You could get an entire table of 10 for a little bit of a discount, $325. But some of you may be first responders, or you appreciate the fact that your son or daughter is involved in that type of work and you want to be a table sponsor, whatever. You can learn all about this by clicking on the banquet information tab at Responders on a Mission International. That's Rome, I-N-T-L, ROAMINTL.org. And click on that banquet information tab because all of this is happening soon. And it's only 3 hours on Saturday, April 11th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. What a great investment in the work of the kingdom. So I want to give you a chance to just speak from your heart. You know, you got people listening here, and there are families that have first responders in them, and or individual first responders are listening right now. So what would you say to anybody that has an interest in this, whether you're involved in first response work or not? Give your personal invitation, anything you want to add.
I would just invite everybody to come hear about us at the banquet. And even if you can't, there's a contact tab right on our website. Fill that out, and I'd be happy just to sit down with you and have a cup of coffee and just explain the different ministries that Responders on a Mission has to offer. So many first responders and family of first responders, they think that we're alone and first responders are isolated and they have nowhere to turn to. But I want to tell any first responder, any family of a first responder is listening out there, there is hope that is found in Jesus Christ. And our mission is to be able to share that with every first responder that God brings in our path.
Amen. All right. Well, again, ROAMINTL, Rome International. Click on that at .org, ROAMINTL.org. And you can connect with Responders on a Mission. And Lord, I just pray for Brandon, his team, for those who participate and volunteer. Lord, I pray for those that come on these trips or who are ministered to that don't yet know you, that they would understand that the hope, Lord, that we're looking for is found in you. I pray as well, God, for those who come to faith in Jesus, that they would grow and make other disciples, encourage others to follow after Jesus. But we pray for safety for each one who's involved in this ministry and for first responders everywhere. And for those that struggle with trauma, it's so understandable why that would be the case. But Lord, we also know that you're the Prince of Peace, that you're the God of comfort who comforts us in the ways that we need it so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we've received from you. So God, I just pray for this ministry, which was ordained by you. Thank you for Jeff Hackett's suggestion that this even be a reality in the first place, and then for the way that you brought it into fruition, Lord. And whatever you begin, you will supply for. And so, God, we know that you supply all needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So you're the one who's going to sustain this ministry, and that's where our hope is going to be on all this. But, Lord, for those who are listening who feel a prompting from the Holy Spirit to get involved, I pray that they would do just exactly what you are showing them to do, whether it's donating, coming to the banquet, beginning to sponsor this organization, getting involved in assisting this ministry somehow, and praying on a regular basis for first responders. God, whatever it is you're showing us to do, may we follow through with diligence to do exactly as you've shown us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Your little five-year-old, what's your name?
Liliana.
Liliana, wow. All right. Well, I'm sure that Alicia is listening. Alicia, if you're listening, we miss you, and we owe you a lot of hugs. She's a sweetheart, and I had the joy of getting to know her back when Zach and her were attending a college ministry at the chapel at Cross Point, and then you came along and became, you know, her husband. How cool is that?
That's
how
right.
Long have you been married now?
It'd be 8 years.
Wow. Praise Unbelievable. All right. Keep up the good work, Brandon. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Neil. You too.
All right. God bless.